Bye. Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Gene and Chris in the Paracast exploring these horrible apparent murders going back to 1915 in San Bernardino, California. Very different place than it is today. Okay, Walter Bosley. One thing, of course, we see on those TV shows is you always look for a signature of a serial killer. For some reason, they have to do things in the same way. But the first killing was different from the remaining six.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And the first book, this is where the first book discovers an interesting little association to the Zodiac Killer, which surprised me. I did not expect that at all.
That's out of left field. How so?
Well, I was looking at this and for the very thing you mentioned, you know, what is the connection here? What is the one thing that all these deaths have in common? And what I found, going back to the original thing that led me to the Coruscant story to begin with, was that all these deaths occurred in physical proximity to the energy grid. Now, yes, the energy grid is theoretical. Yes, the map that I had in my possession for almost a year before I discovered this mystery for other research purposes, this is done by, you know, someone whose theory is that, you know, his particular mapping of the grid, which he uses geomorphology, you know, the actual curvature of the terrain and the formation of the terrain. Yes, all of this, of course, is theoretical. We know that. But nonetheless, there it was. I had this map. And I'd had this map for almost a year, and when I looked at it and I noticed that all these deaths could be plotted in physical proximity, either actually on or very, very nearly right on the lines, that kind of popped up, you know, on my radar. That rose a flag. And as the book states, and I want to be clear here, you do not have to believe in the actuality of this grid or these things to understand. You don't have to believe in it yourself to understand that what Rick and I say in the first book is that the perpetrators, if these indeed are serial killings, the perpetrator or perpetrators, it looks like they might have believed in this stuff, and that he, she, or they might have committed these acts in conjunction with the energy grid for whatever, you know, purposes that they believed would result. And that's really what the book says. The book is not trying to convince anybody that, you know, the energy grid is real. The book presents it as such, as we, you know, as it's presented. And I just want to make that distinction, that what we're talking about when we link the energy grid to these murders is that this is what we think was going on in the mind of the possible killer.
Okay, that raises another question, which is, what awareness did they have of this energy grid back in 1915?
Well, as I said, telluric current is something that's been well known to technicians since the mid-1800s, the railroad engineers knew about it. The telegrapher, remember, telegraphy developed hand-in-hand with the railroad, because that's what, you know, they would string the telegraphy lines along the rail lines. It was what the railroad used to communicate as they were out there, you know, constructing the railroads. And this was, you know, before telephones and before email and all that, there was telegraphy, sending a telegraph, kind of what we do with our texting, but on our cell phone, which I find kind of amusing that in the 21st century on our telephones, essentially we're using 19th century means of communication. But, you know, this is something that has been around. The U.S. Navy, in the years right up to World War I, they were coming up with what's called ground, well, were our ground radio systems, and one of them that they toyed around with was literally a ground radio system, which kind of tapped into this energy going through the ground to simply boost radio capability. So this is something that's very real, and people back then would have known about it, you know, particularly anybody who worked on the railroad. Now, here's the thing. Was there anybody who might have worked on the railroad in San Bernardino in 1915? Well, by golly, it just so happens that the largest railroad yard in the western southwest United States at that time was right here in San Bernardino. There were a lot of railroad employees, a lot, right here. So this was a major railroad hub. And that does factor, as you know, in the first book, that factors plenty in this whole mystery. Yeah, there was plenty of opportunity for there to be someone, you know, some psychopath or whoever the perpetrator was, whatever they were, to be aware of this grid and to kind of apply it in what they were doing.
They're using it then as an excuse. But is it possible the grid or the electromagnetic radiation impacts certain people who are unduly sensitive, so they do things that maybe they wouldn't do ordinarily?
I don't think so. It's an extreme low frequency. I think what we're talking about here is, you know, people who believe, for instance, what we say is we propose the theory that the perpetrator or perpetrators were killing people in association with their perception of this grid in order to inject the grid with energy, which within their beliefs would have given them, you know, some boost in a magical working or served whatever their aims and goals were within their own mind or within their little group, whatever they believed they were accomplishing.
So, Walter, you're talking about sort of a, at the time, it would be like a high-tech form of ritual magic is what I'm hearing.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You mentioned extremely low frequency. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some cycles? What are we talking about? What is the Earth mean tone? Is what, seven cycles? Where does this fall in terms of how many cycles per second?
My research was focused on, you know, just the idea that this was very possibly done by the perpetrators and why the perpetrators were doing it. But essentially, it's an ELF. Extreme low frequency is about to the extent I took that, because that was all I, you know, that was the extent necessary at the time that I needed to know.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be interesting to know how many cycles per second we're talking about, because that... That to me is important as a musician. I mean, you know, everything is frequency in terms of playing notes and stuff. And I just kind of like to get a sense of how.
If you're going to look at this stuff as a ritual magician, sure, that kind of detail, you know, would be important. Remember, my focus wasn't so much on the details of, you know, that kind of detail on the ritual magic. I was.
Well, no, I'm talking about the science behind this telluric current. Is what I'm talking about. What is that particular current's frequency? That's my question.
I don't happen to know off the top of my head, but it might, you know, provide some more interesting information to be sure.
Yeah, because you can then look at things like the Taos hum and the Kokomo hum and various you know, extremely low frequencies that have been detected and bothered people. Sometimes if they're real sensitive to it. So, you know, just in your travels, or maybe ask Sesh about that, how many cycles are we talking about with this grid? I'd be very interested to know.
Absolutely. Now that you bring it up, I'm even more curious about that aspect. That's the thing about this whole mystery is, and why I like talking, you know, with people about it, you know, folks like you and Seshery and others, is there's always something, you know, some new angle on it that I haven't thought of that they point out, you know, from their own experience and their own expertise.
Well, I like that we sometimes start people thinking maybe a little out of the box. We're going to continue with more discussions with Walter Bosley. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. Amino acids have to be delivered to your body in the shape that nature gave them if they are to be used to create new proteins in your body. Just like a bricklayer cannot use bent or twisted bricks to build a brick wall, so too your body cannot use bent or twisted amino acids to build new proteins. Giving your body an undamaged amino acid food can make a huge difference in your health. One World Way is an undamaged amino acid food unlike any other. You see, heating bends and twists amino acids, and all whey protein powders we've investigated, and most proteins you consume, are heated. With our TruCool process, you now have a choice with One World Way.
My name is Daniel. I'm 34 years old. When I started using One World Way, I weighed 228 pounds. Now, after 2.5 months, I weigh 182 pounds. This is my ideal weight. I've noticed an increase in stamina, greater recovery from workouts, and an increase in my potency.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Walter Bosley joining us with Gene and Chris in the Paracast. And he's written two books that cover this case, one with Richard Spence, under the collective title Empire of the Wheel, the first Espionage, the Occult, and Murder in Southern California, and the second one subtitled Friends from Sonora. I'm kind of interested in the way those titles work out. So let's look at that. All right. The occult. What occult and or espionage aspects do you uncover?
Well, in the first book, it pretty much illustrates what was going on in Southern California at that time relative to World War One. Europe was embroiled in World War One. United States was not overtly yet, had not been, you know, officially brought into the war. California, I discovered as I got deeper into this, California was neck deep in foreign agent activity. German and British agents were all over the state, and also there was something called the Hindu-German Alliance. Because India at that time was struggling for its independence from Britain, the Germans and India, they had teamed up. Naturally, Germany was at war with England and wanted England busy on two fronts. So what Germany was doing through California was supplying Indian agents with weapons that would be smuggled out of San Diego across the Pacific to what was Burma, and then into the hands of Indian insurgents in India. This also kind of exploded into terrorism and sabotage going on up and down the California coast. Very interesting in itself. I mean, that in itself would make a fascinating book. Historically, if you're looking for the evidence of this, look up the Annie Larson affair, L-A-R-S-E-N. The Annie Larson was a boat that was caught with these German munitions leaving San Diego, headed for Burma, and that's how this all became uncovered. Well, the book, mine and Rick's first book, Empire of the Wheel One, shows the evidence that the guns that were being smuggled from the Gulf of Mexico into Texas and through the American Southwest by rail had to have gone through the hub in San Bernardino. Now, if you're smuggling weapons, you're a military agent smuggling weapons to an ally via, you know, railroad in this case, and those munitions, that smuggled contraband, is going to be switched from one train to another. I guarantee you, you're going to have agents there at the switch point to make sure everything goes smoothly. So between that and the presence of German immigrants, which in the business of intelligence operations and such, you have to look at your immigrant communities for, where the agents would be buried. History has proven that. And when you're in this business, you learn that pretty quickly. I argue, Rick agrees, and the book presents that there very likely were these German agents that would have been there and would have been overseeing the transfer. Right there, if you've got German agents in the area, then you're going to have British agents also. And lo and behold, just like there was a German immigrant community here, there was a British expat, so to speak, community right here in the Inland Empire. And a British expat was actually numbered among the seven victims, the seven curious deaths. And the book goes into all of this. So all of this kind of thing was going on, you know, during that era leading up to the United States going into the war. So there was the possibility that perhaps maybe some espionage skullduggery was involved in this. However, the problem there is it does not explain the deaths of the children.
Walker, the parents, yes. Do the parents have any connection to one another? Do they know each other? Do they have employment, or did they have employment that might relate to anything, the railroad, possible
none
police activities?
None that we could ever find. That, and I looked for that. I specifically looked for, did these kids know each other? No. The 14-year-old girl was from Redlands. The two small children, 2 years old and 4 years old, brother and sister, they were from over here, what we call East Highland. And, back then, even less so would small Highland children be acquainted with a 14-year-old in Redlands, unless the families knew each other. And again, I was never able to find a connection there with what's available. So
that makes it difficult. And I suppose if this involves some crazy spy who did a little serial killing on the side, well, maybe he or she left the country long before anything was ever resolved, so that makes it even more difficult to figure it out.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if one of the agencies had employed a psychopath, and there he was operating, you know, doing his contracted killings, And you're right. He had extracurricular activities on the side. That is a possibility that, you know, we bring up. You know, by no means do we say, you know, we've nailed it. We've identified the perpetrator. We do present our theory as to who it, you know, could have been in a general sense. But, you know, no specific identity were we ever able to really point to. And that was not really, you know, entirely the point of the book. I mean, there's really quite enough there. Just the first book introduces the idea that, hey, look at this. There's something funny going on here, and here's what makes it strange. But absolutely, it's somebody who came and went. You know, all we're left with is, you know, being able to speculate in as an educated manner as possible.
What do the police records show here? There must be something that indicates when they just gave up the investigation.
Well, that's interesting. The police department, I was told when I made my query there and requested the opportunity to look at the records, I was told that those records had been put in a off-site storage location, and due to a fire, they were destroyed. They no longer exist.
Ain't that convenient?
Yeah, because I would have liked to have gotten my hands on the alleged suicide note of the woman Cora Stanton, because, you know, as you know, you know, a copy of it I could have, you know, had forensically analyzed, and they could tell you things like, you know, did a woman or a man write this letter? And that would have been very interesting and very telling to have a copy of that. And because she died a complete stranger and there was no next of kin whoever claimed her, her suicide note, the public has a right to. See, that's how it works. If there's family or someone who can claim the individual, the public does not have any access or right to access to the suicide note. Like they're an orphan or a stranger, an unknown, the public can get access to that. So it would have been interesting, absolutely.
And certainly with the deaths of children, you think that parents and other relatives and friends would be spending a lot of time seeking a way to try to solve these cases, especially if you have six of them that may or may not be related. Gets to be very
intricate. Well, you know, the interesting thing, and the book, you know, presents this. Here's what's interesting. You had three children who were clearly poisoned. Even the newspaper accounts say they were poisoned, and there was, you know, no perpetrator ever identified, and the toxin wasn't identified. However, the whole city was more fascinated with the woman known as Cora Stanton, and she got all the publicity. She got all the interest, all the concern, and these three children, who Rick and I are 95% certain that they were murdered, they, you know.
We hardly paid attention to them. Walter Bosley joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Hi there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123coverup.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123coverup.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123coverup.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123coverup.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's 123coverup.com.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes.
Okay. Can you sell the intangible?
If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise at GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris, we have Walter Bosley, who's former Air Force counterintelligence agent, former member of the FBI, a private investigator, trying to unearth these strange murders, apparent murders, back in 1915. Now, as we continue with this, trying to understand what happened and trying to find a connection. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, we don't have the police records unless something turned up in somebody's home. You know, you always think, you know, the classic story on Law and Order or something where one of the police detectives is frustrated over the progress or lack of progress in the case. He takes the case files home. He does his own private investigation of it to find out what happened, but there was nothing like that ever?
Nothing that I ever found. As a matter of fact, you know, the police department was, you know, pretty firm that, you know, nope, these records don't exist. Sorry, they're destroyed. You know, when I went to the coroner's office, you'll find this interesting. When I first went there to get just one of the records of the seven victims, you know, what little there was, I went into the coroner's office. The lady who they brought out to handle my request, she was very friendly, very nice. I mean, just a real nice, bubbly personality, very talkative. And about a week or so later, when my record was ready, they called me. They said I could pick it up. When I went back to pick it up, the same woman was called out, and it was as if she was a different person. She was very cold. She was looking at me with daggers in her eyes, just one word, abrupt answers. You know, I tried to make small talk with her. She had been so friendly before, and, you know, I tried to, you know, make chit-chat. Hey, good morning, how you doing, that kind of thing, and she would have none of it, and she was just very cold. She goes, here's your report, and handed me the envelope. She stood there glaring at me as I thanked her and left, went out to my car and left, and I thought, wow, That's very curious. What happened between the time I made the request for this 90-something-year-old record and this reaction? You know, you have to wonder.
Yeah, whether maybe she was in a bad mood. Who knows?
She was in a bad mood, you know. Who knows? But you still have to kind of note it and wonder, was there something about that particular... And in that particular record, the newspaper accounts have this particular victim's body found in three different places that are enough away from each other that it makes you wonder, you know, okay, what the heck was going on here? So, that I just told you about the coroner's office, I didn't put that in the book. There's nothing in the book about personal experiences. This is not a book about me. This is not a book about Rick. This is a book about the situation. But, you know, that was something that happened in the investigation that I thought was a very curious thing.
Well, this whole thing is very curious, but I'm still trying to understand what possible occult aspect might we find here.
Well, the book points out the fact that San Bernardino at the time was very active in the spiritualist community. Now, the spiritualists back then, with a capital S, you know, they were the New Age enthusiasts of their day. These were the people, you know, where you would find in their circles, your occult enthusiasts. And actually, the very first spiritualist temple established in the state of California was the temple right here in San Bernardino. It had been established in the late 1800s by one of the original Mormon pioneers, a guy who was actually just attached to the Mormons to guide them west. He was kind of not really a fully committed Mormon, you might say. But several of the original San Bernardino pioneers that came out with the Mormons to establish the city, they broke away from their association with the church, and they founded this spiritualist temple. And they were reported to have been quite an interesting little group. They would go into the canyons and conduct what we would call rituals. It was reported that they would go out there and try to contact disembodied spirits and entities and such things. That's spooky going on. And they were
right at home.
Yeah, they were quite present and active in 1915. In fact, several members of society were involved in this spiritualist temple back then. And so, you know, we took a closer look at them, and we looked at spiritualist circles in general across the U.S., and we found some very interesting things, some dark things. If you recall, in the 1920s, Harry Houdini very famously went after the spiritualists, and without going into that, you know, because that's a thing that people can read about, and whatever you think of that is, you know, your own opinion, you know, either side. But here was the flag, and to go back to that, basically some people, myself included, suspect that spiritualists were involved in the death of Harry Houdini. There's a whole bunch of, I like to use the word skullduggery, there's a whole bunch of mystery and skullduggery surrounding Houdini's death. And Houdini, if those familiar with his fight against the spiritualists, you recall, was working very closely with a man named Walter Franklin Prince, who was the head of the American Psychical Research Society. And what was interesting, what flag totally popped up in my case, is that in 1915, the Reverend Dr. Walter Franklin Prince was the rector at St. John's Episcopal Church in San Bernardino. And Walter Prince, the very same man who, with Houdini, went up against the spiritualists in the following decade, Walter Prince was the one who gave Cora Stanton, an alleged suicide, a very public funeral and last rites and all that, which in those days was a huge no-no to do for a suicide. And that is where things really began to get even more interesting on the occult angle, because if you really dig into Walter Franklin Prince, you'll find that he was an expert on psychic phenomena, manifestations, and things that are very often, you know, connected to, you know, occult practices and such. So you had the spiritualist, and you had Walter Franklin Prince, and you had Harry Houdini himself performing in Los Angeles during the month that all this mystery was going on. It begins to get a lot more interesting there. And to top it all off, I was able to show that Aleister Crowley himself.
I was just going to mention, you know, you're talking expats and British agents and the occult and stuff, and I remember a conversation with you several years ago when you were researching the book about Crowley.
Yeah, I called you. I can remember that conversation. I was walking around downtown Redlands that very day I called you. I can remember that moment asking you about Crowley. I was able to determine that Aleister Crowley himself, it is a known fact that he was in Southern California during the time of this mystery. I was able to show that he had to have passed through San Bernardino just days before our mystery woman, Cora Stanton, was found dead. And boy, oh boy, spiritualist Walter Prince, Harry Houdini, and then Aleister Crowley on the scene. Things went down a possible occult road right there.
You know, it's interesting here to also consider, and this is going to be more research than anybody would ever want, and that is, if something weird happened, if there was any connection with all these events, it wasn't just coincidence, would it have been repeated in another part of the country where some of these people were present at the time? You know, if you're looking for connections, I guess that's the kind of thing to consider. Is that a possibility, or is that just complete foolishness? And I'll grant it could be foolishness. You might have that answer in our next segment, which is why we're going to make a cliffhanger out of it. But it could be foolishness, or it could be something significant. I mean, if they all gathered in San Bernardino, where else did they gather? No connection? That's fine. Walter Bosley talking about two books covering Empire of the Wheel. More to come. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Can you pluck a chicken in about 90 seconds? You can with Power Plucker. Plucking by hand is a chore, but the Power Plucker makes it fast and easy. Simply chuck Power Plucker into your power drill and watch those feathers fly off. Save time and money with our complete home processing kits, too. For free USA shipping and 10% discount, go to PowerPlucker.com and enter promo code RADIO. PowerPlucker.com, the only drill-powered poultry plucker.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and the FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, "The evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you help eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new Just In Case Pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, Walter Bosley talking about the strange circumstances possibly behind seven murders in San Bernardino County in California in 1915. And he talked about the confluence of events here where Aleister Crowley and Harry Houdini and other people were in and around that area around the same time. So the question here is, Walter, were they ever in other areas at the same time? And is it worth looking for murders there, too?
I think absolutely it's worth looking. Anyone who, is interested in what Rick and I wrote about in the first book, especially, you know, if you would be looking for it in your area or other areas, the thing to do is to find out where a geomorphologist or someone who's an expert in telluric current or even somebody who's seriously into identifying, you know, earth grid energies, someone you can, you know, trust as reasonably as you can, you know, to identify this for you, and then start looking for unsolved murders. Particularly missing persons, you know, and if you're able to start linking these unsolved murder victims to the grid, you know, that's a start, that's a lead. You know, does it necessarily mean, aha, this is going on there? No, just with that alone, you cannot conclude that. I'm just saying that's a start. And what I'm saying is that I don't think what I've discovered would necessarily be exclusive to San Bernardino. It just, Rick and I present evidence of the possibility that this happened in San Bernardino at this time, at that particular time, 1915. But certainly, and we go on to point out that we think the Zodiac Killer was doing just that thing up in the Bay Area as well as in Southern California.
Okay, so you bring up the Zodiac Killer. So do we find any connections at all between the circumstances of those 1915 incidents and what the Zodiac Killer is reputed to have done?
Well, it is suspected very reasonably that the Zodiac Killer, at some point in his life, was a resident of the Inland Empire. And that's kind of a flag right there. And what that says to me and to Rick and I together is that it's very possible that the Zodiac Killer had somehow learned about the Cora Stanton thing and had maybe read, you know, the very same reports. And because I think it's been fairly well established that he was some type of student of the occult and such. And we argue that if we're aware of this energy grid and if we learned about the Coruscantan thing, certainly anyone else could have as well. And certainly, why not the Zodiac Killer? What kind of gave me goosebumps was, again, this map that I had, you know, been in possession of for, you know, like around a year. When I decided to look at the Zodiac killing was because one of the killings, which is considered and credited to by most people to be a Zodiac killer victim attack, was Sherry Jo Bates over here at Riverside Community College. Now, whether you accept the idea, because Zodiac claimed her, Zodiac did indeed claim her. Some people question that, you know, okay, was he just claiming someone else's victim or whatever? But that's a whole other argument that we don't get into. The fact is that where Sherry Jo Bates was murdered, whoever did it, they did it according to the map I have and had in my possession for a year before I made the Zodiac connection. Sherry Jo Bates' murder site was dead on this grid and actually in a straight line conjunction from an important nodal site as identified by the guy who did the map for me. And I thought, okay, set aside whether you believe in this energy grid or not, or you know, set aside whether you believe in these occult ideas related to it. What I argue is that the Zodiac killer, whoever he was, and the murderer of Sherry Jo Bates, whoever he was, this individual believed in this stuff. Because when I plotted all the known Zodiac attacks, they too fell on the lines of the grid, you know, as it's laid out, as it exists, so to speak, up in the Bay Area. And that kind of was startling. It's really the one thing that ties all the victims together, theoretically.
Now, theoretically, they never found out who the Zodiac killer was, although there were suspicions.
That's right. Well, there were suspicions, but they were never really able to prove or nail the crimes to any of the suspects. And one argument could be that there was more than one person involved. Now, of course, there are Zodiac experts, Zodiac aficionados, many of them, you know, just self-proclaimed, who, you know, oh my gosh, that's, you know, they would argue vehemently against the idea. You know, it was just, it's kind of like Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone gunman. You know, the Zodiac killer was a lone nut, and they insist on that. I just personally disagree with that as a certainty. Could have been one guy, could have been more than one guy. You know, we just don't know. Rick and I, in the first Empire of the Wheel book, we do not even attempt to identify the Zodiac killer. What we do is present, based on what we have, the idea that the Zodiac killer was attacking his victims in conjunction with this energy grid.
Now, if we look at that around the country, do we find a higher incidence of possible serial killings near a grid?
Well, I haven't, you know, I've been so busy with just working on what happened here in the Inland Empire that I haven't even begun. And that would be a great thing for another researcher to look into and take up. Absolutely.
Walter, give me a copy of the map. I'll overlay it on the areas of high incidence in the cattle mutilation phenomenon that I'm currently writing about.
Yeah.
We're putting some pretty fascinating things together here, all from this one incident. You were saying?
What did you want me to elaborate on?
We're starting a whole thing here, but I guess the big question here is, as we look at this, have you reached yet a brick wall in learning more about this case? Because it looks like you're trying or succeeding in attaching other things. In fact, there's mention in the blurb for your book something like, for example, the 1897 airships. How would that relate?
The Friends of from Sonora.
That's right.
Yes. Well, there we go to that thread I mentioned earlier related to the gentleman arrested on the train. Now, during the research for the first book, this incident, this gentleman was kind of sticking out to us like a sore thumb, to me especially. you know, what's going on here? You know, here we have what appears to have been, you know, a serial killer possibly on the rampage. And here we have what appears to be our perfect suspect, a guy kind of, you know, having a nervous breakdown on a train, hallucinating the face of a woman who he says that people are accusing him of assaulting, you know, 10 days after a woman is found dead. And he's in possession of a woman's purse. And at that time, it was, I think, the day before Cora Stanton's purse and alleged purse and her alleged hat and suicide note were all found. So, you know, here's the perfect suspect, right? So they arrest him, and as I said, they take him to the hospital. He is diagnosed as just, you know, I forgot how they put it off the top of my head, but, you know, he was losing it. And then he's just released into the custody of unidentified friends from Sonora, was how the newspaper put it. Well, you got to ask, you know, I said, okay, friends from Sonora, is that in, there's a Sonora in Texas, there's Sonora, Mexico, of course, you know, and then, of course, there's Sonora, California. So I looked at the guy's name, Frank Rosasco, and sure enough, I found a prominent Rosasco ranching family in Tuolumne County up there by Sonora, California. So then I went, holy smokes, what do we have here? Because isn't it interesting that in Sonora, California, we have linked the legend of the Sonora Aero Club, A-E-R-O, and the whole Charles Delshow thing about the guys who in the 1850s had discovered, allegedly, anti-gravity propulsion and were building flying machines and secretly flying them around Tuolumne County, and they would house their flying machines in barns on private property owned by the ranchers.
We're now getting into something almost related to the UFO mystery, although this is not a UFO-related show, at least I don't think that it is. We have Walter Bosley joining us, trying to unearth all the events surrounding a series of unusual apparent murders in San Bernardino Valley. A lot more to come with Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
There are those curious about bitcoins and those using and making money with bitcoins. What are bitcoins? A bitcoin is the first decentralized currency that can be easily transferred from person to person over the internet. No bank needed. This means lower fees and accounts can never be frozen, limited, or closed. You are in control of your money. And the best part? You can start earning and making money with bitcoins right away. No computer or expertise is required to earn money with bitcoins, and a growing number of merchants now accept bitcoins. Plus, they're easily exchanged for dollars, euros, and more. Learn more about the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to enter the Bitcoin market and get paid every 2 weeks by one of the fastest growing Bitcoin miners in the world at cloudhashing.com. Just like it sounds, cloudhashing.com. That's cloudhashing.com. We mine your business.